An uplifter is
a compelling leader
who tries to breathe life and hope into people around them,
who listen and care and guide and help,
whose way of being in the world inspires,
who uplifts with humor and understanding,
who leads by example,
don't judge,
vulnerable,
bold, determination,
who are here to create a better world,
who can learn and teach,
who encourages you,
who shines their light to lead other people,
who uses their best self in order to help others.
I found the life that I liked and I worked toward that.
We are all uplifters. Mwah, big love.
Welcome to the Uplifters Podcast. I'm your host, Aranza Savas, the wonderful Yvette Jones Johnson. And hopefully you heard her story on a former episode. When I asked her who inspires her, the first person she said was Geralyn Berg. Because at 70, Geralyn is reclaiming a fitness space that so many of us have believed is not available to us. You will hear in her story some pretty radical accomplishments that will hopefully help you believe that you can do and be more throughout your entire life than the media and lots of the other stories we've been fed have led us to believe. Geralyn, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk about this passion of mine.
So when did you get into fitness, Geralyn?
I'm going to kind of back up many years because now I'm 70. This was probably when I was, I would say 22. I was in graduate school at UCLA. And I was running around. They have a grass field at UCLA. And I don't know, for whatever crazy reason, I decided, you know, I'm going to go run around that field. Now, mind you, I'd never run in my life, really. And it was a quarter mile field. I could not make it around like a half of that. I was huffing and puffing. From the outside, I looked pretty damn good. All right. But from the inside, apparently, not so good. And it just occurred to me, I can't do this. This just doesn't seem right. I'm really young. I can't do this. But I didn't connect it to anything. I just kept doing it because what you're going to learn about me is I'm a determined individual. I don't know where it comes from. Every day I went to that field, a little more I'd run until I finally could go 3 miles around, which seemed like a good accomplishment, but I still really didn't do anything else to change anything. So that's kind of the beginning of kind of a little bit of a idea in my mind, like maybe there's something not right about this. Maybe I'm not as fit as I could be, even though I'm looking really good. Because I was always driven, and I think a lot of the women that we know are really driven with this idea in the society to be thin. That was in my era. That was a big deal. You saw Twiggy, you saw these women. They were just like, they were like emaciated. And I came from a background, my mother was super critical, like always, you're too fat, you're too this, you're too that. And really, it kind of did a number on me. I grew up in LA. And I moved to Boston and I could be somebody different. I didn't have to take the old baggage and who I was and how I grew up and my critical mom mindset to this new spot where I didn't know anybody. So I met some new women and those new friends introduced me to some new things that I had never, ever thought of before. And when I think about what's important for really helping people with fitness, I like to call them the three M's. I'm calling it the Berg method, but the three M's are your mindset, your muscles, and your macros, which is what you eat. The first one is how you think. The next one is how you move. And the last one is, you know, what you eat, and how you eat. So backing up to that, first thing is I met a woman, my friend Maddie, and she introduced me to a food co-op. Now, I didn't know anything about food co-ops, and I really wasn't even thinking about that. I had no knowledge about that. I mean, I grew up eating, you know, red meat and potato, you know, spaghetti and meatballs and steak. And there was no health and frozen vegetables. So I started to learn about nutrition. Then came the exercise piece, which was I started to run, really seriously started doing it with my girlfriend. The second thing I started was swimming. Not that I didn't know how to swim, but I couldn't swim more than a lap. So I kept going back. It got me out of my mind because I am always, always thinking. So swimming is kind of meditative. The running, meditative. I started to do yoga. It would be a break from my mind and I would be so happy. It wasn't that I was studying it and the science of all this now that I know 50 years later. But at the time, I only knew that, wow, when I do these things, I feel so much better. And the last thing, I started weightlifting because I always loved when I saw these women with this great definition. And I just like, how do you do that? I thought, oh, that is so cool. I want that. So I was in this little hotel gym or something. They only had a bench and a few dumbbells or something. I just started doing that. And I thought, well, that's kind of fun. And I kind of like the way I feel with that. And it was really the start of all of that. And the man that I learned yoga from, this was Jon Kabat-Zinn, father of mindfulness, at least that's his title now.
Uh-huh.
He was my teacher.
Wow.
And it was phenomenal. And I learned so much. And, you know, I learned from him something very interesting, an interesting lesson that he told us. He said, listen, don't go telling all your friends like a rant says, you've got to try this yoga thing. It is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, look at me. I'm so phenomenal. I'm doing yoga. And look, I'm just like, I'm a different person. He said, just be that person.
Mm.
You know, be the example to others. And they'll go, hey, Geraldine, what's different? Something's different about you. I wonder what that could be.
So well said. And what a beautiful triangle of support, right? And they say, right, the triangle is the strongest structure. And so this three-part structure here feels so stable and sustaining. Do you think of yourself as a capital A athlete?
Well, I love that word. But you know, you have to understand that I never did anything my whole life until I was 20. Okay, like I did nothing athletic.
Same, same.
Right? Same, right?
Yeah.
And so what I realized is that's a pretty darn good athlete.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really was. And I had just no idea. I had aptitude for it, but I didn't have any support for it. Do I consider myself an athlete? Yeah, I do. You know, I do. I call myself a gym rat, but I know that most people don't like the gym.
Yeah.
I get it. And it can be an intimidating place.
Totally.
I get that part, but you don't have to go to the gym.
Right.
You could be at home. You could, you know, let's take COVID. I mean, you could buy yourself some dumbbells, some bands. That's what I did. But the point being is just do it. Just be there.
I was raised by a very mobile, physical person. And so I noticed being reared by my grandmother from morning to night, she was on her feet and she was doing. She is 94 and didn't really formally do anything fitness oriented until she was in her 70s. And then she started training and racing. She'll be 95 in June. She still does yoga every day. She still runs a couple of miles every day and stands on her head at least once every day. I hear stories like this and it gives me not only encouragement and belief what's possible, but also excitement to do it. So I want to talk about these last few years for you. Of sort of opening up your realm of what's possible for you as an athlete.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that's such an inspiring story. Dan Buettner, he's been studying longevity and these centenarians who, you know, they're still vibrant and healthy at, you know, 90 to 100. And one of the things, and you just said it, is moving. It doesn't have to be in the gym or anything.
Yes. I had a taxi driver once who told me, he said, everybody in my village lives till at least 100. And I said, oh, why? He said, because we pray on our knees. And what he explained to me is that in his community, multiple times every day, they get up and they get down. And it is that routine mobility that keeps people alive.
I think people think of exercise to be this formal thing. Not necessarily. But to your question about the later in life, because I think that's the interesting part too, right? Okay, so, you know, and it's so funny when I think of this, because now I say like I'm 70, I think about 55 was young for me.
How cool is that?
Isn't that cool? It's like, oh yeah. But I got to tell you something too, is I feel that if you ask me, Geraldine, how old do you feel? I would say like 32. You know, I don't know why, but the fact is, I don't even understand the number. I know, Rances, it is my number. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, I'm a realist, okay?
Yeah.
But the fact is, I'm in the best shape I have ever been. I'm kind of a numbers nerd too. I really am. And I think people should know baseline. Like, how do you know you're making progress in your fitness, okay? When I started, and I'm backing up, okay? So I do this thing called a DEXA scan. It measures a couple really important things. It measures body fat, it measures your lean muscle, and it measures the fat around your organs. The fat around your organs is what causes disease. You need to be cognizant of that and figure out what I do about that. But what I have seen, so I started measuring this in 2017, which is going to get me back to my story here as you know, kind of older, so to speak. So I started to do, when I first started to work with this trainer in 2017, because I had been like most women, lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, you know, that pattern. And I was so frustrated. I was not feeling good about myself. I was not feeling confident. I was feeling, it's just awful. So, you know, I was in the gym one day. I saw this woman. She's really toned, beautiful. So I went up to her. I said, "Hey, what do you do?" She said, "Oh, I'm a trainer. I'm also a nutritionist." And I thought, like her. I said, "Hey, do you work with others?" She goes, "Yeah, I'd be happy to work with you." Sandra brought me back to, how are you eating? Macronutrients. It's what your body needs to be healthy. So that was that one piece. I was strength training 3 times a week. I started out, this is pretty dramatic, with 32% body fat. And mind you, I was a lot younger than I am now. That was 6 years ago. I have 21% body fat now at a 70-year-old person. That's the athlete category for, not for people my age, Aransas, for women 20 to 29.
Oh my gosh.
For women my age, 60 plus, it's less than 30% body fat.
Wow.
I have 21% body fat. And I just measured it in November, so I know this. And I'm thrilled. I mean, I'm just like, wow, for me, because I was that chubby kid. You know, I was that kid. And it's so, it's really thrilling. It's really exciting because I want other people to see that you can take control of these things. You don't have to believe these stereotypes and these myths out there, because that happened to me. But it's going to take some help. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some learning. It's not insurmountable,
mm-hmm.
but it's possible.
Yeah. I love this reminder, though, that we can reinvent, that we can become something more or different than we've always seen ourselves as. Because to your point, those beliefs really weren't even ours to begin with. They come from other people. And ultimately, what I hear you doing is carving out this new space that is uniquely, powerfully yours. So talk to me about competition.
Sandra, at 37, now she was a lot younger than me, probably 20 years. She'd already had a couple of bodybuilding competitions under her belt. I said, "I'm going to do one of these bodybuilding competitions." When I was 63, I said, "I'm going to do that." On my 65th birthday, I competed for the first time in my life. And it was exciting. It was phenomenal. I literally was the only person over 50. Okay, my category was 50 plus. I was 65. I was 65. It was just so fun, right? And it was really just more than I could have ever expected. First of all the women were like 20, 25 years younger than me. This whole community of women, they were wonderful. I remember my boobs were falling out of this little teeny tiny bikini. I had no idea what to do. I was like, "Oh my God, I got to get on stage. I don't know what to do." This lovely woman, she goes, "Here's some wig tape." She pulls out this wig tape. She's like putting it on me. She goes, "Okay, there you go." And it was just the best experience. I felt like a celebrity because all these women, I mean, literally the first time in my life, I didn't know what it would feel like to be a celebrity. All these women came up to me and said, "Can I take a picture with you? Because, you know, I want to be you."
Aw, Geraldine.
I know. And I thought to myself, "You want to be me?" Because I thought, nobody ever wants to be me. You know, it's like, I didn't want to be me. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't get how inspirational this was. These are young women looking at this person so many years older than them that's looking like them. I was like vibrant. I was like, they're all tired sitting on the floor. And
you're like in a bikini and high heels, oiled up on a stage.
Oiled up on a stage, walking on 5-inch stilettos.
Oh my gosh.
But you know something? I was so prepared. You get back to your mindset. I mean, I had a major breakdown the week before. It's kind of intimidating too, let's face it, right? I mean, you know. But, you know, it felt amazing. It was exciting. Here's the thing. It gets back to a goal and a purpose. And that's also part of longevity. Mm-hmm. And we know that. We read that all the time now.
And a challenge.
And a challenge.
Yeah.
It was the biggest challenge in my life. I mean, I had by that time, I had done in my 30s to my 50s, several triathlons, right? So I kind of had done some major athletic types of things that I had never done before in my life as an older adult. But I thought, this is something different, a challenge that I just can't even imagine that I could do. And then in my head too was, all right, 65. And then I said, what's my next milestone? 70. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do it when I'm 70. Well, I still stayed fit between 65 and 70. But what did happen to me, and this was a couple of years ago, I got diagnosed with cancer. And shocking, you know, shocking to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had thyroid cancer. It was like a chance finding. And I did have to have surgery. I did have my thyroid out. But point being, I think with any adversity that you have in life, you kind of got to think about, like, what do you want to happen from that?
Yeah.
Are you going to let that take you down? Or are you going to figure out how you're going to move forward? And as soon as I could after that, you know, I had to heal, of course. But then it was like, all right, I got to get back to working out. I remember one of my doctors saying to me, and I'll never forget this, he said, look, he said, you know, I don't want you to think about this as you have a disease. He said, you have a situation. You have to do what you can do. You'll manage it. You'll get through it. And, you know, you'll do what you have to do and you'll be okay. And that's kind of exactly what happened. I still have a little bit of cancer there, but, you know, it's being monitored and I manage it. And it's just part of being human and living and have a positive approach and positive attitude. And, you know, I just got my latest test results and I'm happy to say that everything's still good.
You're paying attention to it and managing it, using the data, but you're not letting it define your beliefs about yourself and your life. And there are plenty of people out there who have absorbed a story that says, well, this has happened. So now the potential that we once felt we had is now vastly limited. And certainly I hear that it's impacted you. You're just not letting it fully define you.
I think that's a really good point, is don't let other people define what's possible for you. I think sometimes that's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about your 70th birthday. When you were 65, you competed. Then you began your battle with cancer. And then you decided to celebrate your 70th birthday in a pretty unique way.
Yeah, and the great thing was, it was my 70th birthday on the day of the competition. Women were saying to me, and this blew my mind. They said, listen, I want to take a picture of you and me. I'm sending it to my mom. I go, how old is your mom? Remember, I'm 70. They go, oh, my mom is 62. My mom is 52. But my mom needs to start working out. And I want to show my mom, look at this woman at the competition. Like I was like the oldest person by, you know, 25 years, 30 years. This community, when you're there, everybody's supportive and everybody's just like, it was such a great experience.
Mm.
But that whole thing about the mom thing, because I don't feel like I'm their mom, but realistically, I'm probably a grandma.
But that's the idea, right? It's again, to surround ourselves with the people who inspire us and who lift us up. So coming off of that, I know from marathon training, I always, as I get close to a race, I think, I'm never doing this again. And midway through the race, I'm like, this is insane. Why would anyone ever do this again? And then a week after the race, I'm like signing up for another race. So what are you thinking, Geralyn? Do you think you want to do this again?
Well, I love that question because of course I've thought about that. And I think right after that, because, you know, remember what I said in the beginning, this determination craziness that I have, right? I thought to myself right after, I thought, you know, I didn't do as good as I wanted. Absolutely, I'm going to do this again. There's no doubt I'm going to do this again. And, you know, I was even looking like, what's happening around my birthday this year?
What is a snapshot of a typical week for Geralyn now, while not training, in terms of how you manage your mindset, your movement, and your macros?
So let me start with mindset, because I think that mindset is almost everything. I'm sure you understand that too, because it can either really support you or defeat you. So I meditate, probably meditate 4 times a week. I really find that when I start my day meditating, you know, it's true, I have a better day. And you think like, why did that happen? You know, because you set an intention. You're kind of setting yourself up for success. And to kind of say it in a way that people could get it, it's for me, it gives me that more space to respond and react more thoughtfully, not just react, react, react when things happen. It's kind of in a more thoughtful way. The other thing, and I've been doing this, it's kind of great, getting out of bed and making a statement, an intention of what you want, which is, I mean, verbally say it, it's going to be a great day. Now, great to you and great to me can look very different. So it's not about that, but whatever that means to you, then it depends because I'm still working, which I love. And I still absolutely find my career so rewarding. And it's my gift. And I feel like, why not continue to give my gift in that way as long as I possibly can? It's like, you can't drop your purpose in life. Why would I stop doing that? So I just sit around and do nothing? No, that'll probably make me ill. I go to the gym, I'll work out, probably an hour of a strength training. I also love spinning. I had my protein breakfast, egg whites, spinach, some carbs, oatmeal, banana, you know, balance. Tomorrow I'll do some yoga. And, you know, also managing this mind here, this monkey mind here, it can go all over the place and it cannot be positive sometimes. Leave me in paths that, you know, probably I are not the best. So, you know, just, I did that the other day. I was just like anxious about something. I said, well, go to yoga or go do something physical for me. Mm-hmm. Go do something physical.
It's all connected.
So, yeah. So, you know, that's kind of it. And swim. Mm-hmm. So I'm still doing all those practices that and those disciplines I started way back when, you know, and it still gives me that, you know, peace of mind. It gives me an opportunity to really think through things, to do some problem solving, to just kind of let my mind just go and see where it takes me. It's also a really creative process because I find out of doing those things, sometimes things come to me like, depends kind of what age you are. If you were older or something, I might say to you, hey, do you want to be able to pick up your grandchildren? Do you want to be able to get out of your chair? Do you want to be able to lift those gross? I mean, it's for mobility, it's for functionality, it's for bone density. And we all know as we get older, probably even starts when we're 30, we start to lose that bone density. So we want to keep that muscle and that tone. And also, let's face it, it's going to help your metabolism. It's going to keep that fat burning longer.
What would you say to any uplifter out there who questions her potential as she ages?
I would say that you can be whoever you want to be. You own it. You don't have to listen to the myths, the stereotypes of aging. I think that, in fact, I think it can even be better as you get older. And this is what I have seen. That I would have never said, Aransas, if you had said to me that, yeah, Geraldine, you're going to be 70 and you're going to be, you know, striding across the stage in this tiny bikini in front of hundreds of people. I said, you are out of your mind. That will never, ever happen. I really want people not to let happen what almost happened to me, is to really be convinced that getting older means degenerating, means being less vital, means not being able to do the things you love to do, you want to do. I think it can be quite the opposite. But here's the thing. It takes some effort. And guess what? Nobody's going to do it for you. Mm. You need to decide. Fine. What do you love? What works for you? Whether that's walking, running, I don't care what that is. But what gives you joy? And you really have to make it a practice and a discipline. You really kind of have to plan it out. Just like you plan a meeting at work, you put it on your calendar. You know, put it on your calendar that, yes, you know, this day I was just coaching one of my friends in fitness. She said, I don't have time. She said, I don't have time. I said, okay. I said, well, do you have 15 minutes? When can you carve out 15 minutes? She says, well, I guess I could this day. I said, okay, there it is. Put it on your calendar. You're going to go walk for 15 minutes. Great. So I think the whole idea of, I really want to share with people possibility. I just really feel as an uplifter, I want to support other women in this effort because I just see how important it is. You're never too old. It's never too late and it's never too early. Mm. I was spinning at the gym one day and I finished the class and the 25-year-old instructor came up to me and she said, wow, you're like you're a beast. Like, you're just like killing it. She goes, I want to be you. How do you do this? I want to hear everything. It's never too early. It's never too late.
Right. What a beautiful thing to say. And uplifters, as you listen to this, I hope as always that this means something for you and your own story, and that you see your own potential in Gerilyn's potential. And as Gerilyn pointed out, that we don't compare ourselves, but that we find space to inspire ourselves to be wholly uniquely our gifts and our dreams through hearing the stories of one another. Because as always, we rise higher together.
Thank you, Arantzis. This has been so much fun. And I love being with you and sharing with other uplifters out there and other women the beauty of taking control of your life and living the life. And you can be the best version of yourself at any age.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters Podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the uplifters in your life. And then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters, and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa. Whoa, lift you up. Whoa, lift you up.
Beautiful.
I cried.
It's that little thing you did with your voice.
Right, in the pre-chorus, right? Uh-huh.
I was like...
Mommy, stop crying. Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.